Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you're listening today with the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in this episode. When you go to the podcast page on my website, classtechtips.com, don't forget to check out the free stuff section full of graphic organizers, ebooks, and more goodies you can download instantly. This episode is sponsored by Hopera. Students need access to a wide variety of content for learning. Open educational resources provide the opportunity for students to learn everything from multiple perspectives using the highest quality, up-to-date content. And Hopera's Student Dashboard Digital Backpack is the only K-12 digital tool that provides a way for schools to distribute it seamlessly, whether students are one-to-one in the classroom or learning from home. Visit hopera.com/digital-backpack to learn how to get started with OER in your school. This week's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is titled Spring Cleaning Guide, 5 Tips to Upgrade Your Digital Workflow. And this Easy EdTech Podcast episode is for educators, of course, but if you have someone in your life who's looking to upgrade their own digital workflow, clean things up because it's spring, and that's often when we think about spring cleaning, then you might want to pass along this episode or these tips to them. I wanted to start off with a quick question. What does spring cleaning look like in your home, your classroom, or the other spaces you inhabit? Like a lot of people, I'm a big fan of the Home Edit series. I follow Clea and Joanna on Instagram, and I am counting down to that season 2, which maybe will be live by the time this goes up on whatever podcast player you're listening to it on. As much as I love the Home Edit series, if you told me 2 years ago that my refrigerator would be color-coded and that my bookshelf would have books in rainbow order, I would not believe you. I would really have pushed back hard. Not to say that I wasn't plenty tidy or plenty organized, but it's so funny to think about how we can upgrade our organizational, our cleaning routines just a little bit, and it can make a huge difference. Although your physical spaces might be neat and tidy, how do your digital spaces measure up? Well, if you've been listening to the podcast all year or for a couple years, then you might know that my one word for this year is optimize. I did a whole podcast episode all about it. One of my goals for this year is to take my digital organization to the next level, really optimizing the systems that I already have. So in today's episode, I have 5 spring cleaning tips for every educator. These are ready for you to customize for the digital spaces you use, your day-to-day routines, and your favorite technology tools. I've put together a blog post with a couple more tips and a free download with even more tips. That download has to do with Google Drive, but you could use it for any of the digital file folders that you have. So make sure to click on the show notes for this episode, head over to the blog or the free stuff page on my website, and you will find it all there. So let's jump into number 1 on these 5 tips to upgrade your digital workflow. The first tip is to grab just the best photos and make a slide deck scrapbook. If your phone is full of photos like mine, you might have lots of photos from a special event or a classroom moment that you were ready to celebrate. Instead of keeping them all on your phone, carve out 30 minutes, just one day, for one big photo cleanup. Before you start deleting all those photos, though, set up a slide deck to act as a digital scrapbook for the year. You might open up a Google Slides deck on your desktop and AirDrop some photos over, or just have it ready to go if you email yourself or put it into a shared folder that you can access quickly. And that way you'll be able to create this slide deck scrapbook. Once you open up your photo app on your phone, though, choose just the best photos to add to your digital scrapbook. As you move them off your phone, delete them and delete those extras you're not using either. This digital scrapbook can help you chronicle your school year and could even be used as a professional artifact. And at the same time, you'll clean out all those extra photos that's taking up space on your phone. Tip number two is to create a canned response. And this is something that I talk about a lot when I'm thinking about being productive and saving time. And a canned response is one of my favorite things. And it doesn't have to feel impersonal, right? It can definitely feel customized for whoever you send this canned response to. Here's how it works. Open up your email and head to the sent folder. Quickly skim the last few dozen or so emails that you've sent. Are there patterns in your responses? Do you keep writing the same email to answer the same questions to different people? If you notice a pattern in your responses, open up a document on your computer and copy and paste your most common email responses. Clean up the emails you typically use so that they could be sent to almost anyone who asks the same type of question. Now, next time you get one of those types of emails, head straight to this document that you've created and copy and paste the response to their question. I know that in my canned response document, I have responses for when people want to order a whole bunch of my book, EdTech Essentials, and they're asking me about a discount. I can just paste in the directions on how to do that into an email. Or if I get someone who's asking me, Monica, we want to set up a webinar with you and our teachers. How do we go about that? I respond with my canned response. I don't just do a, hey there, copy and paste. I write a much more personal message, but I include those special details that I don't want someone to forget as the copy and paste, as the canned part of the response. So tip number one on our list is to grab just the best photos and delete them from your phone after you've made a slide deck scrapbook. And number two is to create a document full of those canned responses so you can save time copy and pasting. Next up is to search for untitled. If you make lots of documents on the fly, I know I do, whether you're demoing a strategy for students or showing off a quick tip to your colleague, you might have a lot of documents that aren't serving a purpose anymore. Now, I do this every once in a while where I'll jump into my Google Drive and I will search for untitled. These documents in Google are named untitled by default. So you can head over to your Google Drive or OneDrive if you're a Microsoft user and put in untitled or new if it's got a new document as the default, and then you'll search for that keyword. Either delete these documents or give them a name and drag them into a folder if there's something you want to keep. If you're feeling overwhelmed by this task, like you are thinking to yourself, okay, great idea, Monica, and then you sit down and you have so many of these untitled documents, you don't know where to start, set a timer for just 10 minutes so that you have a stop time. And then if you feel like you want to keep going when the timer goes off, awesome. If not, try it again in another week, and then you're just making a dent into it, into this item on your list. Next up has to do with email too, and this one is around making an email automation. So I talked about canned responses. In many email tools, including Gmail, you have this ability to create an email automation. It's an if-then kind of statement. In my inbox, I have automation set up so that if I get an email from a particular sender, like a daily newsletter, it'll automatically mark it as read. That way I don't think I have something outstanding. or feeling stressed, like there's a long list of unread emails that actually do need my attention. You can also set up an automation so that certain emails are automatically placed in folders. If you have a routine of checking email newsletters maybe once a week, but they're clogging up your inbox, this can automatically place those emails in a folder for you, and then you can take a peek at that folder once a week. Next up for us for these five tips is one of my favorites. It's a strategy that I use all the time, and it's to make a color coding calendar commitment. It's kind of a long one. What I'm really getting at here is make it a commitment to color code your calendar. Now, I'm not a big New Year's resolution person. I mentioned that optimize is a word I chose for this year, but I don't even choose a word every year. I truly do believe that you can commit to starting something new any time of year, and you might have a few goals that come out of your spring cleaning, including one around your calendar. So take a look at your current digital calendar and see if there are three or four common themes or categories of events. On my calendar, for example, I have a lot of webinars I host, so that is one category I color code. Choose just a few, maybe three or four categories, and make a commitment to color code them as you add new ones to the calendar. This routine is often tough for me if I'm adding something new quickly and I like don't want to forget to put that appointment on my calendar. So my commitment isn't to do it every time I add a new event, although I try to. My commitment is to take a look on Friday afternoons at the upcoming week and do a quick color update so I can get a better visual feel for what the week ahead holds. So on that Friday, I might look and say, okay, all of my webinars are blueberry, and that's the color I have in my Gmail. All of my phone calls are that light blue. And then maybe if I'm in a school that week, I've blocked out the day with a different color. So all those things are particular to you, but that's my color coding commitment. If you're looking for a few more spring cleaning tips, take a look at the free guide I created with 10 quick tips to organize your Google Drive. Just like the tips from today's episode, they're not necessarily Googly friendly, or just Googly, I should say. You could use them in other resources, other places too. You'll be able to find that link where you're listening to this episode. It'll be right there in the show notes, or you can find it on the free stuff part of my website. So let's make this EdTech easy, like we always do at the end of each episode. First, grab just the best photos and make a slide deck scrapbook. Next, create a canned response and maybe an email automation. Then search for untitled to clean up your drive. And finally, make a color coding calendar commitment. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Hopera. Students need access to a wide variety of content for learning. Open educational resources provide the opportunity for students to learn everything from multiple perspectives using the highest quality, up-to-date content. And Hopera's Student Dashboard Digital Backpack is the only K-12 digital tool that provides a way for schools to distribute it seamlessly, whether students are one-to-one in the classroom or learning from home. Visit hopera.com/digital-backpack to learn how to get started with OER in your school. If you have a moment to leave a review, I would super appreciate it. I read every single review that comes through on the different podcast platforms. I keep my eyes peeled for any questions that come in there too. So if you have a moment, please leave a star rating or type in a quick review. Not only do I appreciate it so much, but it also helps boost the podcast in search engines, meaning other educators will find it when they search for EdTech Tips.